This evening, as we think about the role of Christian education in the life of the church and the life of God's people, we'll return to a text that we've considered before. As we reflect on this subject, we'll spend some time together this evening in Psalm 1. And as we do, please do listen carefully. This is God's word for us this evening. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the law of Yahweh. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray as we turn now to God's word. Lord, you have made us, and it is in you that we live and move and have our being. Lord, you want us to grow into the people you have called us to be, and we know that has implications for us. We know that for those of us who are older, it has implications for our covenant children. We know it has implications for how we as a church, as families, minister to our children. And we ask that you would help us now as we consider those things as we come to your word this evening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 1 is about the kind of people, the kind of Christians that we want to grow. Now, of course, it applies to Christians in all sorts of situations and all sorts of stages of life, but this evening we want to especially consider how it relates to covenant children and Christian education. And as we do, we see in Psalm 1 a challenge, a solution, and then a result. First, there's the challenge that Psalm 1 points our eyes to. What Psalm 1 tells us is that the world around us seeks to make us, and also our covenant children and students, rootless and substanceless. And we see that first in verse 1, with three lines that are meant to grow in intensity, from walking with the wicked, to standing with sinners, to sitting with scoffers. And with that intensification, we also get the sense that each group is not only actively recruiting, but also that they're passing people on from one level of rebellion to the next. There's something of a multi-level curriculum in worldliness here. One begins by learning from the wicked and then moves up to be taught by sinners and then finally graduates from there to be instructed by scoffers. And as the rebelliousness of the instructors intensifies, so does the attention of the one who listens, it seems. One walks early on with the wicked, but then one ceases to walk and simply stands with the sinners, and finally one sits down with the scoffers. And with that variety of circumstances described, we also get the sense that this thread is not isolated to one corner of the culture or another. It's something that can seem to be everywhere. Much like we considered this morning, the counsel of the wicked is all around us. The way of sinners is everywhere. The seat of the scoffers is offered in innumerable places. You can't box these threats out, nor is the righteous man in Psalm 1 blessed because he found a way to wall himself off from such temptations. Rather, what we see here is that he is blessed because he has refused to walk in the counsel of the wicked. He's refused to stand in the seat in the way of sinners. He's refused to take that seat that's offered to him among the scoffers. And so he is blessed. Our call here then is to grow Christians who resist those temptations and to help our children do the same. And as the wicked, the sinners, and the scoffers recruit, we might ask, what are they seeking to make us and also our children often into? And verse 4 tells us that they seek to make us into chaff, that the wind drives away. They seek, as we said at the outset, to make us substanceless and rootless. The Chaff, remember, is the husk of the grain that's separated from the kernel on the threshing floor. And after the kernel has been separated from the chaff, the kernel would be heavier and the chaff would be lighter. And so the wind would often blow the chaff away, separating the two. And this was possible because the chaff was so light and effectively substanceless. And Psalm 1 tells us that that is the result of the work of the world on an individual. Over time, it makes us substanceless and easily blown away by the wind. The world, in a way, just for what it is, not because of any vast conspiracy, but the world as it is in this fallen state seeks to make us into light and hollowed out people. People who do not resist its directions and temptations. People who do not stand against its ways. What's particularly distressing about that, though, is that that rootlessness and substancelessness, when it has shaped us to our core, can then last into eternity. In verses 5 and 6, we read that the weightless and substanceless of the world will not stand in the final judgment, but will perish. They will have rejected their Maker. They will have rejected His provision for them in the gospel, and their intentional alienation from Him will continue from this life and into eternity. The world, through various means and in various ways, seeks to instruct us. It seeks to shape us. It seeks to train us. It seeks to make us ultimately into rootless and substanceless people that will go with the flow of the culture around us. And it makes us, in the end, into those who will choose alienation from God. And it seeks to do the same with our covenant children. It seeks to shape them as well, ultimately into weightless chaff. This is the challenge Psalm 1 puts before us. We need to ask then, what does Psalm 1 tell us should be our response? What is the solution it holds out for us? Well, what we can learn from Psalm 1 is that our calling as the church is to help grow covenant children to be grounded and rooted in God's truth in every way that we can. This is, of course, what we owe to our own children, but it's also what we pledge to do for every covenant child in our congregations. And there are many ways that we do that, but one is that as a church, we have dedicated ourselves to supporting Christian education in general, and to founding and running Covenant High School in particular. Covenant High School is one significant way that we seek to come alongside Christian parents and to truly assist them in the Christian nurture of their children. Because in order to flourish amid the challenges of this world, covenant children need to be grounded in God's truth, as we see in Psalm 1. At the heart of Christian growth and nurture is the Word of God. We see that in verse 2 of our passage. Rather than draw close to the counsel of the wicked, the way of sinners, or the seat of scoffers, the blessed man doesn't just avoid those influences, but he actively pursues their opposite. Again, similar to what we heard this morning, he actively seeks after and delights in the law, the Word, the truth of the Lord. He meditates on it day and night. The truth of God lies at the heart of the path that is blessed, and making God's truth central is a task that's at the heart of Christian education. Of course, in a school like Covenant High School, students study God's Word in Bible classes and in chapel, but as we've already heard this evening, that's only the beginning. When they study the natural world through math and science, they're also reminded that they are studying the world that God has made, that in some way also reveals who He is. When they study history, they are reminded that they are learning about the ongoing back and forth between the city of God and the city of man that's played out over the centuries and superintended by God's providence. When they study literature and the arts, they are reminded that they are looking at the creations of humans who are both made in God's image and also fallen. And so in all such works, they can see or hear both the results of the fall and the beauty of human beings made in God's image. And then outside their studies, whether in the hallways or in the lunchrooms, in house activities or student clubs, God's call to love and kindness is encouraged. It's lived out. It's displayed, helping students build habits of walking in the love of the gospel. God's truth is to be foundational to everything that happens at a Christian school. This is the kind of sustained drawing from the Word of God that Psalm 1 encourages us towards. Verse 2 calls us to lay hold of and to meditate on God's truth. And then verse 3 tells us that as we do that, we will become deeply rooted. The Hebrew term used in the second line of verse 2 emphasizes that the tree is not just near streams of water, but that it's firmly planted there and that its roots have gone deep into the ground there. Clinging to the Word of God, one becomes deeply and firmly rooted and thus experiences the blessings of God. We see that again in verse 6. Verse 6 says that the Lord, that Yahweh, knows the way of the righteous. But the meaning, of course, is much stronger there than mere awareness of it. It means that the Lord not only approves of such a way, but he associates himself with it. The Lord identifies himself with those who have rooted themselves in his word. And as they walk with God, our covenant children become more of who God designed them to be. They observe, they delight in, and they rigorously study the world God has made and the sciences, the humanities, the arts, and beyond. And as they do, they also seek to know the one who made this world, to know and understand both the creation and the creator. But we should note, of course, that their pursuits don't just end with knowledge or even understanding of creation or the creator, but they continue on from there, seeking to nurture a right relationship with the God who made them and this world by faith, received his grace in the process, and live according to his calling for them, and then to help one another do that in the day-to-day lives that they have at school together. Because we don't just want our students and covenant children to know or to enjoy the gifts of God today, we want them to know and enjoy both God and his gifts for all eternity. And so we seek to help them to cultivate and to grow and to maintain a vibrant faith as they strive to know and understand both God and his word and the world he has made for them to live in. And so in the face of the challenges of this world, Psalm 1 calls us to seek to grow covenant children with God's word in ways that will teach them how to walk with God and how to live in the world he has made. And one key way we seek to do that is through Christian education. Finally, as we reflect on this psalm, as we seek to cultivate these things in our children, we need to ask, what result does Psalm 1 tell us that we should then hope for? And Psalm 1 points us to consider three different results. First, it tells us that our students and covenant children who are rooted in God's truth are equipped then to persevere themselves. They persevere in their faith themselves. Now, we see that in the fourth line of verse 3, the tree firmly planted by streams of water, we're told its leaf does not wither. In other words, it perseveres, it continues in life rather than shriveling up in death. And in a world that is as spiritually dry as ours often is, we cannot take that sort of thing for granted. We need to grow covenant children who are firmly planted by streams of spiritual water and who long to remain planted by streams of spiritual water. For that is how they persevere in a world that is so often devoid of such nourishment. That's the first result we see here, perseverance. The second result of our students and covenant children being rooted in God's truth is that they become those who provide refreshment and blessing to others. And we see that if we look at the third line of verse 3. It's there that we're reminded that they yield fruit in its season. We might pass by that line, but it's helpful to reflect on the image there a little bit. Trees don't provide fruit for themselves. They don't produce fruit that they can then enjoy it and be nourished by it. They produce fruit that then goes on to bless and nourish others, and that also, of course, can go on to make more trees. And so while the ways of this world may make people into chaff, which has no nutritional content for anyone else, when our students and covenant children are instead rooted in the truth of God, they can grow into people who bear fruit that will bless and that will nourish others. And so one of the results of covenant nurture and of Christian education is to grow Christians who will be a blessing to those around them. At a Christian school, students are not only to learn facts and skills, but they're also taught what to do with those facts and skills. They're not only given information, but they're also immersed in a Christian culture that teaches them to bear fruit for a specific purpose of blessing others. In a world where we are so often taught to look out for and to work for and to only be true to ourselves, Christian education strives to grow Christians who seek to bear fruit that will bless other people. That's the second result someone tells us to look for, that Christian students and covenant children rooted in God's truth will provide blessings to others. Third and finally, Christian students and covenant children rooted in God's truth are to press into the world around them. I won't get into the details here, but Psalm 1, verse 2 seems to pretty clearly allude back to Joshua 1, chapter 8, and the events that were leading up to the conquest of the Promised Land at that time. It's worth then reflecting back on the relationship between those passages. God, in the conquest, had called his people to press into a hostile land. And if you remember the story, the first time God called them to do that, they were scared. And one conclusion that they drew was that the people of the land, those who were in the land who had rejected the Lord, they seemed to them to be strong and fortified and very large, while the Israelites, were told, seemed to themselves to be very small and weightless, like grasshoppers, they said. In other words, to their eyes, the enemies of God seemed rooted and grounded, while the people of God seemed like substanceless chaff, like little insects in the wind. But God's message to his people then, under Joshua, and the message that's reiterated here in Psalm 1, and the message that we are called to give to our covenant children at Covenant High School and in many other settings, is that with Christ, the opposite is actually true. When God's people, whether young or old, small or great, when God's people are rooted in God's word, then they are the ones who are solid and fortified, while those in rebellion against God are the ones who are like substanceless chaff blown by the wind, no matter how strong they may appear to our eyes. And so, whatever their eyes may tell them, God tells them that they should be strong and courageous and press into the world around them, entrusting themselves to Christ as they do. And it's in that way that the land, and indeed the world, can be transformed. Psalm 1, in many ways, reminds us that the purpose of Christian nurture, and therefore the purpose of Christian education, is not merely defensive, but it's offensive. It's not merely to conserve, but it's to advance, that others may come to know the Lord as well. Like the second generation of the Exodus under Joshua, our covenant children are called to press into the world around them, properly equipped by an education that's rooted in God's word, filled with the truth about the world that God has made, and engaged with the challenges of the culture around us. Christian education is to equip each generation of the people of God to press into the world, to make disciples, and to extend the kingdom of Christ. As the church, as the people of God, our calling, our responsibility is to raise up the next generation prepared for the challenges that they will face in this world, not only for the next few years ahead, but also for the decades ahead and for long after we ourselves are gone. We must equip them to persevere in the faith so that they can fulfill what Jesus said was the greatest commandment, to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, both now and for eternity. We must train them to bear fruit that provides blessings to others so that they may fulfill that second great commandment, to love their neighbors as themselves. And we must train them to be bold and courageous and to press into the unbelieving world around us so that they can fulfill Christ's great commission for his people and make disciples of all nations. And we're to do this, of course, in many different ways. We're to do this at home as Christian parents. We're to do this on Sundays as God's gathered church. But one of the most effective ways we have found to grow and to nurture covenant children, so that they will be firmly planted by streams of living water and nurtured by the Word of God, is through Christian education. Which is why we have supported and given thanks for Christian education in general and Covenant High School in particular for many years up to now, and why we intend to continue to do that for many years to come. Amen.